Good morning and happy Easter. I'm so thankful that we're able to worship together this morning, and I'm glad that you chose to join us, whether it's live on Easter morning or whether you're watching a little bit later. God bless you and welcome. Please take a minute to connect with us and comment and let us know that you were watching. Maybe you have a prayer request or there's some way that we can help you. Just let us know that, so that we can serve you and care for you in the name of Jesus our Savior. He's the one that we're celebrating today. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the single most exciting event in all of history. And it's typically the day with the highest participation, the highest attendance in churches all around the world. Today we're kind of acting as part of a big flash mob. People are singing the same songs. We're worshiping the same Savior all around this world. People are watching. People are listening. People are looking for hope. But today, our world is also facing a global pandemic that few of us have ever seen or experienced in our lifetime, with reports of sicknesses and death that are increasing. There's worry over your income, over your retirement accounts. There's fear about being around other people, going out in public, and there's still no end date in sight. We could all use just a little more hope. For centuries, Christians have placed their hope in a God that they cannot see, and in a Savior whose promised return has still not yet occurred. So why do we still have hope? My question for you today is, where is your hope? This morning we're going to see that we can find hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We will look at how Jesus rising from the dead gives us hope for today, hope for tomorrow, and hope for eternity. Hope is more than just a vague wish that something will happen. Like, I hope it's going to finally start warming up this week. We've had snow here in Western New York several times this week. We're seeing daffodils, we're seeing flowers show up. The robins are here, but the warm weather is still eluding us. Or maybe we're hoping for the time that we can send our kids back to school. Both of our kids are doing online studies, so that's not going to help us in our home, but you may be hoping that your kids can get back to school. They may be actually looking forward to seeing their classmates again and enjoying being there. Spiritual hope is different. It's a sure and confident expectation in God's presence and in His future faithfulness. The horizon of Christian hope extends from day-to-day living, even far beyond death, into eternity prepared by God Himself. This is good news for those who believe, but first, there's bad news. No matter who your parents were, whether they were wealthy or poor, educated or uneducated, famous or completely unknown, you were born hopeless and helpless. Hopeless because sin separates every one of us from a holy God who created us to be with Him and to have a relationship with Him, to know Him. Romans 3:23 tells us that there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're hopeless because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You don't know what will happen when you die. In John 3, Jesus said that an unbeliever will perish, meaning he will be cut off from God forever in hell. This person is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. We're also helpless because our sins cannot be removed by any good deeds, by any measure that we can do or take on our own. We cannot escape hell on our own. The prophet Isaiah said, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf with our iniquities. Like the wind, they take us away." I'm not going to leave you hopeless and helpless, because there's good news, and that's why we're celebrating this morning. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, our sins, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, and seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote those words to the church in Ephesus, and those words ring true for us today. God loves you, and He's provided a way for you to know and love Him. Because we could not save ourselves, God sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, as the payment for our sins. He suffered and died in your place, in my place, on that cross. If this were the end of the story, we would have no reason to celebrate today. But we see that He rose from the grave on the third day, just as He said. And so that by believing in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, you can have life in His name. In 1 Peter we read, God who raised Him from the dead gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. We see we have hope for today. Because Jesus rose from the dead, conquering sin and death, we can live today completely trusting God right now. Followers of Jesus Christ are sons and daughters of God. We are His family, and we are secure in His house. In Hebrews 3 we read, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are His house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. You're going to hear a lot of God's word today, because that's what really matters. It's not what I think or what I believe, but it's what God says. And He says that we can have hope today, tomorrow, and for eternity. When you're worried about your household, your struggling parents, maybe their health, when you're wondering where the money's going to come from to pay for your groceries, maybe you're in the middle of another family feud over what to watch next or what to eat, you can find hope knowing that God is right there with you. He will never leave you. He promises to never forsake you. He will never let you face more than you can bear. And we know from His word that there's a reason behind what's going on. Romans 5, 3-5. Let me read that passage for you. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God uses the difficulties that you're facing right now to see if you're going to turn to Him or if you're going to keep trying to go your own way. When you turn to Him, He says He will help you endure. We learn from His word how to respond in ways that bring Him glory. That means when others see us handling a problem, they see God's character in your life. They see patience, they see kindness, they see compassion, love. They are encouraged. Scripture tells us more and more, these are called the fruits of the Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit fills us and as we turn to God and say, I want to do things your way, those are the kind of things that other people see in our lives, and that brings glory to God. That's the reason that we exist. It also produces hope, because we know that God brought us through that difficulty. He brought us through that trial, and He'll be there with us for the next round too. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, we read, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, so that you may be able to endure it. We're called to glorify God, to show his character when we face temptations and trials. Are you responding to the problems, the difficulties today in that way? Do your thoughts, do your words, do your actions reflect the way Jesus would respond? In Romans 8, we also read about the entire creation groaning. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Believers, followers of Jesus Christ, recognize that the effects of sin on our own lives, the effects of sin on the world, and we're seeing that today, all around us. We realize that those effects are only temporary, and that because Jesus rose from the grave, there is proof of eternal life. And just as he promised, there would be redemption, there would be a reconciliation, a completion, a restoration of all that God created. We can be encouraged by this hope. It gives us a strong foundation. It keeps our thoughts from being consumed by worry and doubt. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, who, following his resurrection, is now seated at the right hand of God, interceding for believers. Jesus is our high priest. We have direct access to God through him. In Hebrews we read, We who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. That's a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, who stands before God, protecting us, interceding for us, watching over us. And as Satan accuses believers of sin, as he accuses us of not being worthy, God looks at us through Jesus and sees his righteousness. He sees the blood that was spilt on the cross. And if we've trusted him as our Savior, God sees us already as holy and redeemed. Not only is there hope for today, but there is a certain hope for tomorrow. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have a sure hope that when we die, we will also rise from the dead. We read these two encouragements in Titus. In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised us before the ages began, being justified, which means forgiven, pardoned for our sins, by his grace we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Through Adam's sin, all of the world was cursed, but through Jesus Christ, all who believe have hope of eternal life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is writing to people who were worried about those who passed on before them, worried about their own death, worried about the death of their families. In 1 Corinthians 15, 19 to 21, we read, "If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." We also have hope of seeing those that we love again, even after death. When we lose someone who has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we know that their death is not the end. Believers will grieve the temporary loss, but we don't have to grieve an eternal loss. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul also talks about those who died, and he describes them as sleeping, because physical death is just a short wait. as we are waiting to be restored to those that we love. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. You can have hope for tomorrow, and you can trust God because he is sovereign. He is fully in control, not only of our today, but of our tomorrow. In the Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles 29, we see God's place in controlling the entire world, the universe. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. We can have hope for tomorrow, even though we don't know what's coming, because the God who created you created tomorrow, and he knows what tomorrow brings, and he promises to be there with you. Finally, we have hope for eternity. All who trust in Jesus Christ as Savior have the sure hope of eternal life. Let me read this passage from 1 John 5 for you. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God created us and all of creation to bring him glory. And because of the resurrection, we have a living hope through Jesus Christ. Listen to these words from Ephesians chapter 1. So that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And then in 1 Peter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because of Christ's resurrection, we have new life that begins today and lasts forever. If you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, you are a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. In Titus 2, we read, as we're waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope for eternity is that we're waiting to see Jesus, whether it's us being raptured and brought up to him or at his return later. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. We have hope for eternity as we wait for Jesus' promised return, when we will experience God's full glory. When we see him, we will finally be made complete. We will be holy and righteous. Just as God sees us now, we will be in a new body, fully pure, fully righteous, completely like Jesus Christ. And Paul was writing that as we aim to be pure like Jesus is, we aim to live lives that are holy, set apart, honoring and glorifying to him, because we bring him glory when we live the way Jesus did, our Savior. As we close this morning, my opening question is, where is your hope this morning? Are you still trying to hold it all together yourself? As you're working at home, as you're helping your kids with their schoolwork, trying to keep everyone safe, making sure everyone is okay, how's that going for you? We simply cannot do it all alone. There is a better way. Scripture says, lift up your weary arms, strengthen your weak knees, make a straight and clear path for your feet. Run to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus said, cast your worries and your anxieties on me, because I care for you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will experience real and life-giving hope today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. Believers, we're called by God to share this hope with those around us, to those who are watching our lives and saying, what's different? Why are you facing all of these difficulties in a different way? How can you still seem to have peace and not be discouraged? Why aren't you falling apart? How can you still be hopeful in these crises? In 1 Peter 3, we have that answer. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect. Believers, are you sharing that hope with those around you? That's what we want to do this morning, and in the series that we're continuing in the book of 1 Peter, we're sharing ways that you can find hope, not just a temporary hope, not just a way to cope with your problems by ignoring them or just finding a quiet place, but finding a relationship with God, with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you like no one else. That is the way to find sure hope for today, hope for tomorrow, and hope for eternity. Please bow with me as we close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the awesome sacrifice of giving your own Son to pay the penalty for my sins, for the sins of the world. You recognize that we could not take care of our own sin debt. We could not approach you as a holy and perfect God. So you sent your own Son to pay the penalty for us. He suffered. He died on that cross. And as his blood poured out, our sins were forgiven. Thank you that on this day, this Easter Sunday morning, we can celebrate that he rose again on the third day, just as he promised. And as you knew would happen, he defeated death, he defeated sin, and he offers eternal life. He offers salvation and a relationship with you to all who would believe. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing in Jesus Christ, his Son, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In the glorious and matchless name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. May God bless you and keep you. Thanks for joining us this morning.